Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. It is March 15th, 2022, Tuesday. Beautiful day here on the Delmarva after a bitterly cold weekend. We even had some snow. I don't know what it was on Saturday. God, it was snowing. It was crazy. And I think it was like 70-something, 79 degrees maybe on Friday. So quite a roller coaster of temperature changes around here, but we're making it. It's going to be fine. It does feel nice today. Yeah, what's going on? Not much. Went to the meeting on Friday. Really great. Starting to see more people show up to the meeting, which is awesome. The meeting was pretty dead. That meeting actually had died. It was RIP, rest in peace meeting, and COVID hit. The meeting pretty much had died before even COVID had hit and the pandemic and all that nonsense. And, or I shouldn't say that, that period of our time. Shouldn't say it was nonsense, but it was, the meeting had died. And then, you know, we went through what we went through, and then we kind of come out and people are starting to come back out of their shell and people are looking to go into meetings. And a buddy of mine, Jim, was running this meeting and just went in there and, you know, hooked up with him and been trying to kind of not really bring the meeting back, just having a meeting, right? Went to a couple meetings and shared that meeting needed some support. And so this past Friday, we probably had 12 people, which was good. You know, I like a small meeting. I like a meeting of four or five people. You know, if you're from the city, I remember when I was going to school up in Rutgers and I would go to a meeting up in Jersey and it was like, I mean, 100 people, 200. I don't even know the number, but it would be like this big meeting, and then the meeting would split into different meetings, and it was nothing. It was like nothing I was used to. You know, I'd gotten sober in a small town, and you know, the meetings that I went to at the time were no bigger than, you know, on a big night maybe 20 people. You know, but on a typical regular night maybe 5, 7, 9 people. So I was used to small meetings, so I'll never forget up in Jersey, those huge meetings. And, you know, it worked, right? It worked. It's just, I do like a smaller meeting. I like a little more quaint. Everybody gets a chance to, like, share, and you're not intimidated. You know, those big meetings, you always got the professional sobriety people. And you know, they always make such great sense. And, you know, I love to hear people, but, you know, at some point sharing is a big deal. And I think I've shared before that in the beginning, my sponsor told me, you don't have anything to say for the first year. And I said, that sounds great. I have nothing to share. Because everything I wanted to share was all about self-serving me. And I didn't know that at the time. You know, it'd take years until I did start sharing and then started to realize how, you know, self-serving would pop in every once in a while. And so, you know, in the first year, it's such a winding path. Looking back, everything was about me. And why shouldn't it be? I mean, I was self-centered to the fullest. The only thing I knew about were things that interested me or benefited me or hurt me. You know, I couldn't talk about the damage that I was doing to other people. I couldn't I couldn't talk about the road, the path that my family had to go down dealing with my self-centeredness. And so really, my sponsor did me a favor by cutting me free from having to share anything for the first year. I think he used to say, for every day you're sober, you get a second. So 365 days later, you get 365 seconds, which I don't know, what's that? 3 minutes? 4 minutes? You know, my name is Tom, I'm an alcoholic. Glad to be here, that's all I have. My name is Tom, I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here, that's all I have. That's what I used to, that was, if I had to say anything. You know, and back then you'd go to meetings, and I'm sure they still have them, but they'd have these meetings where, you know, and I still, the Monday night meeting that I sometimes get to is that, it's like that round robin sort of, you know, you have a leader and a speaker, and the speaker finishes, and then he calls on people. Or she. He or she calls on people. And I, oh my gosh, I remember in the beginning, I'd be so terrified they were going to call on me. So full of me. You know, what am I going to say? I'm going to save the room. I'm going to sound like an idiot. I. And it's very toxic. You know, it wouldn't be for years until I would realize just, you know, the embarrassment is good for me. The shame that I created was good for me. You know, it's like walking through a door. And up until you get to the door, I'm full of all these thoughts and anxiety and fear and all this self-centered stuff. And then once you walk through that door, and that would usually happen, and I remember the big one was my first year anniversary. Having to set up at the front of the room. I mean, for 363 days, I worried about that day. 363 days, I think it was probably 2 days into the, I don't know, and I'm sort of exaggerating, but it was pretty early on that I would finally hear that on your first year, you'd have to set up front, and you get a cake, and you get to share your story. And that was in a year, and I was like, oh, God. So the countdown was on. What am I going to do? And it happened, and it was like a blackout. I don't really remember it. I remember thinking myself, you know. Oh, and I'm sure it was a great, you know, justified reason to think myself. I do believe that I did have to think myself because I had to show up. But it was just the place I was in, you know, so full of self, so self-centered. It was gross. And to actually thank myself in my first year anniversary when I spoke was pretty gross. I don't think my intentions, I had no clue. And it wasn't really like praising me, but God damn it, I had to put the footwork in to get into the damn meeting, so I thanked myself. But that would be my problem. It's still my problem. It's self. And, you know, just that first year, oh my gosh, the path. Trying to figure it all out, listening, imitating. You know, my first year in sobriety was about imitation. Being surrounded by great people that were great examples. And my first year, everybody I met in this program was a great example because where I was at was solo. But you realize over time, we're still sick, right? Still sick and suffering. And we learn, and we all have our moments where we're doing great, and then we have moments where we're falling back into self, right? We have moments where we're, you know, self tells us, you know, don't go to meetings. You know, I mean, we all, I know for me, I love meetings, and I still do. I think, you know, early on, the amount of meetings that I went to, I think I did 120 meetings in 90 days, and I love the idea. You know, at the time of being given the suggestion that maybe a 90 and 90 would help. But what do I do? 120 and 90. It's like, because I just still, it's still exposing that self. You know, I didn't say do 120 meetings in 90 days. I said do 90 and 90. But for a guy like me, 90 good, 120 better. And it was always about looking better. But when you're as fucked up as I was for as long as I was, you know, you just want to look better and feel better. And that early time in sobriety would expose a lot of that self. I mean, I always heard I was selfish. I always heard I was immature. And I'd always heard I was spoiled. But I could not see it. I could not see it. And, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, I think, and I've mentioned this before, and I think I mentioned it the other day, you know, trying to evaluate or trying to figure out, what do I want? What do I want? What am I willing to do to get it? And do I want the right thing? I mean, breaking it down to the moment, to the punch that put me on my ass. You know, what did I want that moment? I wanted to hide. I wanted to prevent people from seeing what everybody knew is that I was a mouthy alcoholic. You know, I was that guy that was one second away from getting in a fight everywhere I went. And you kind of carry that sort of that badge around as this guy, right? And then when somebody punches you in the mouth and the gig is up, you're not as tough as you thought you were. You're not as tough as what you thought you seemed to others. That's one of those times where you have to face the piper. And I didn't want to face him. I'd rather hide, and hopefully in 5 days, this gigantic split in my lip and these stitches would go away and we could forget all about it, like it never happened. But that wasn't the case. And leave it to somebody in this program, my first day at a meeting, to point out, what happened to your face? You know, and everybody laugh, and the exact thing that I was hoping would never happen happened on my first meeting. But at least we got that out of the way. And then it would be about being around people that were good examples. And it just felt good. It felt safe. You know, there's nothing like, you know, I shared the other day about, you know, watching these cops, and, you know, somehow I got onto this cop watch show on YouTube, and I was watching it last night, and, you know, this cop was going the wrong way on a highway, hit somebody head on, killed two people, didn't really get hurt, and the cop kind of gets a hold of him and is asking him what happened. And you could tell this guy is just, you know, he doesn't want to say what happened because he doesn't want to make himself guilty. But in his mind, you could tell he was working it out, and it was not fucking pretty. And the guy's like, what happened? How, you know, he's like, I don't know. Hold on. I got to think about this. He's like, you know, I am fucked. And I don't know this person. I don't know what ended up happening to him. But I know that this probably wasn't the first incident. I know when I was in my addiction, there was many incidents. I'm so grateful that I never killed anybody, but I absolutely could have. And I think the worst part for this guy, he was going the wrong way on the highway. And I think he was trying to figure out, how am I going the wrong way on the highway and just hit somebody head on? How? Wait a minute. What the fuck happened here? Wait a minute. And you could see, you know, the early part of the interview on the side of the road, and he's kind of trying to figure it out. And then as it settles in, what has happened? He just stops talking. He knows it. I'm fucked. You know, when I was in my addiction, I always knew that things like that were headed my way. Whether it was, you know, like I said, I'm grateful. I could have been. I remember my buddy Lee standing up in the fucking room. You're all a bunch of fucking murderers. Everybody, clutch my pearls, you know, my God. But he was right. We just didn't murder anybody. But we absolutely, I know for me, I drove drunk. That was why I ended up getting sober. I was such a drunk driver. I would drive drunk. I would drive buzzed. I would drive drunk. I would drive hammered. I even remember a couple times I drove and I couldn't see the road. That's how bad it was. And that was my fear. That was the downfall of me continuing to be a drunk, is that I could not stop drinking and driving. I got a DUI. Got one in 97. But just always knowing that something like that was going to happen. And just feeling that guy's pain. Oh, my God. I've been sober for a long time. I'm not even driving. I'm not even in New Mexico. And I felt this guy's anxiety and pain. And then I just followed it up by saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for me not having to feel that anymore, right? It's so awesome.
I'm not looking for the answer to somewhere to go when I put on my boots. 'Cause I can wander out to anywhere. Maybe yours could be the place that I go to. I could chalk it up to one more thing, and I guess we had one hell of a time to feel. That's just lines in the sand.
So, you know, one of the things, and I've shared this, and I think it's important that I know it was important for me, and I think it's important for other people too. And I'm not definitely telling you what to do, but it was important for me to try to evaluate, figure out what is it that I was looking for. You know, first day I just wanted to hide from getting stitches. You know, early on I loved the idea. I had lived such a fucked up life for so long, and I don't mean like, I just mean, you know, just constantly in trouble, constantly, you know, waiting to get out of trouble, constantly not quite being good enough for even jobs, and my social circle, you know, was uncomfortable. It was really just a bunch of drunks and alcoholics, or drunks and addicts that I hung out with, which isn't a great environment. And so just the, you know, the first year just watching people be good, right? Just behaving. It was insane. And then, you know, as time would go on, it became about wanting more time. You know, self would start to show back up. Self's always there. He's such a... And can we, you know, we love to say, you know, God, you know, this is a God program. But it's also a devil program. You know, the part of my life, you know, if I'm going to call everything that happens that's good in my life is God, then, you know, if I'm going to call humility and that kind of thing is more of a God side, then self is the devil. And, you know, I've grown up with this weird, I think a lot of us have, this weird relationship with God and the devil. As is, God sits in a cloud on a throne, right? And the devil is down underground on a lava island or an island around lava. I don't know, but it's this, you know, if you're a sinner, you're going to spend your life in hell, where down on lava island, you know, with the devil. And God, if you do well, you're going to spend your life up in the clouds. And that's always been my relationship. I never really understood self and humility. And if humility is that God thing, then self is the devil. You know, and when self doesn't get what it wants, self's not happy. Self serves self. The devil serves the devil. I mean, we can agree to that, right? I don't understand. I mean, I know I've talked about it before. I try to figure out what is the issue with having a relationship with God. I guess one of them being that if you don't do it right, or if I don't do it right, I end up in hell. I mean, shit, if you look at the Bible, it doesn't look good for me anyway. You know, I've fixed up a lot of stuff. There's shit, you know, my thoughts are varied, right? And according to certain things, that certain thoughts, you know, get you to hell. And I'm not perfect. So I had to try to, because, you know, that doesn't look good. So when things don't look good for me, I tend to turn my back to it. So I had to try to figure out what this all really meant. And, you know, that started happening to me a few years into the program, you know, starting to understand the self-centered side of me. You know, the devil. The devil serves the devil. And I learned a lot of that through running, through exercise. Doing something that serves self revealed the devil and how the devil works in my life. You know, I've talked about going for a run and that first, you know, the first mile, and self is like, or the devil's like, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, this is a waste of time. You're going to be too tired. And then God shows up and says, listen, we're doing it. And the devil's like, all right, I'll wait here at the beginning of the trail when you come back. And then I would start to go on this humble journey, a real analysis of myself, mentally and spiritually. And it would fluctuate throughout the run. You know, I used to say, I'd assassinate all my enemies in the second mile. All the people that I was jealous of. All the people that felt my wrath because of my lack of trying or participation. You know, I didn't go to school because self was like, let's party, let's hang out with chicks. Right? And then at some point, you got to live with that. You know, and then so self comes back and is like, fuck all these people that went to school. You know, like I still couldn't take accountability for it. It's a tough existence. And, you know, this program has taught me, getting sober has taught me this relationships that I have with a higher power. And it also has I have a relationship with the lower power. And trying to map my way through all that is difficult. And the worst part about it is that I've been doing this for, you know, quite a few years. Not continuously, but quite a few years. And it has slowly evolved. And here I am this many years later. And the most important thing for me today is to stay absolutely in the moment. There is no self or humility in the moment. It's reality. And what's real to me right now is that I haven't had a drink. And what that means is that I shouldn't have any problems that come with that. I shouldn't be driving the wrong way down any highways today. I shouldn't do anything too inappropriate. You know, I'm not going to find myself in a bar. I'm not going to have to lie to someone to say, you know, I'm coming home, but then I end up at a bar or drinking. You know, it's nothing worse than being in a relationship with someone that's struggling. You know, are you going to, not going to drink today, right? You know, right. Going to come home, you know, right after work today, right? Right. But always knowing that that possibly may not be true. It's a tough one. And you know, this many years and here I am. And I have to keep it really simple, which is just what is going on right this minute. And what's going on right this minute is I feel fantastic. I don't feel like drinking. I don't feel like doing any drugs. I don't feel like supporting self at this moment, at least in not in that manner. But luckily, this program has the other stuff that allows me to work on the other stuff, and thank God. All right, let's see if I can find a reading. Daily reflections. I had it right here. Okay. Oh, shit. All right. So today is, what is today? March 15th. All right. The good idea. Huh. Oh, no. Sorry. I already fucked it up. Is this for today? March 15th. Yep. It's for today. All right. So it's the God idea. The God idea. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 52. Like a blind man gradually being restored to sight, I slowly groped my way to the third step. Having realized that only a power greater than myself could restore me from this hopeless abyss I was in, I knew that this was a power that I had to grasp, and that it would be my anchor in the midst of a sea of woes. Even though my faith at the time was minuscule, it was big enough to make me see that it was time for me to discard my reliance on my prideful ego and replace it with the steadying strength that can only come from a power far greater than myself. Yeah, that is, I think, that's the hurdle. That's the hump. You know, that's the one we got to get through, is that relationship with the higher power. And I shared before, you know, if you're struggling with that, you know, if you do not like your relationship with God and it hasn't benefited you, like it hadn't benefited me, I don't participate with things that don't benefit me. That's at least how I used to be. And if it hadn't benefited me, I'd prayed, I'd asked, and nothing had been given. I wasn't doing it rightly. You know, like I said 100 times, if you're struggling with a relationship with a higher power, you know, like they say, use a doorknob. It's really just the act, you know. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. If you get in a position where you feel overwhelmed, if you get in a position that feels like there's no hope, try that prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. It doesn't ask for anything. It recognizes there's a Lord, and it recognizes you're not it. And honestly, it's pretty awesome. So practice that. Try that prayer. You know, if things aren't going your way, the other thing that that allows is when we start to do that, we start to be able to see the bad mistakes that we've made, the bad choices that we've made. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And then we think, well, what is it that we actually did? And then hopefully we say, well, let's not do that again. And hopefully we get better. I hope everyone has a great day. And I will talk to you later. Bye.